Hey, what's up, guys? It's Will with American Hard Enduro. In this podcast, I'm talking to Mark Cook with the Rev Limiter about this year's 2020 version of the Rev Limiter down in Bridgeport, Texas. It's taking place September 26th and 27th. So literally, there's this weekend, and then it's taking place the very next weekend. The weather is looking awesome. It's starting to cool off a little bit in Texas. It might actually be a dry Hard Enduro. We hadn't had one of those in a while. So me and Mark, we talk about schedule of events, we talk about the terrain down there, the new venue, getting signed up, we talk about who's coming, all that stuff. So give it a listen, let us know what you think. Get signed up, if you aren't already, at revlimiterextreme.com. Like I said, the weather's looking to be like in the mid-80s, so it couldn't be any better. And also, this week, the podcast is brought to you by the guys over at Seat Time. I'm sure a lot of you know Brian Pierce, Pintful of Awesome. Those guys have been supporting the hard enduro off-road industry for years and years. So now Brian has a bunch of cool products out, including the One Down, Five Up line of shirts and hoodies. So if you go to shop.seattime.co, check some of that stuff out, put some of that stuff in your cart, and then you can enter American Hard Enduro when it gives you an opportunity to enter a discount code and you'll get 10% off your order. So go check that out. Go get you some stuff and we will see you on the trail. Thanks for listening. Mark Cook, what's going on, man?
Well, I'm just trying to get some good service down here in Lake Charles after Hurricane Laura. So fun times, man.
Cool. What's the scene down there right now after Laura?
Pretty much in Lake Charles, like total devastation. We're tons of structures just totally wiped out. Just gone. So the only thing that could have been worse is if they had the flooding that went along with the hurricane. Fortunately, they didn't have that aspect.
The flooding that's going on right now with Sally, I guess a little bit east of you guys.
Yep. They didn't get that. So that was their only saving grace. But, Category 4 just totally devastated the town.
I gotcha. So I guess we're kind of in the same line of work. I'm a forensic engineer, and you work as a public adjuster, is that right?
We work with down here in Lake Charles. We're working as consultants with a law firm. So yeah,
gotcha. Okay, this probably bores most of our listeners. So let's get to the fun stuff. We're getting close, man. We're less than 2 weeks away now. Rev Limiter 2020. I know you've been planning this race. It seems like for a whole year. Are you excited that it's almost finally over?
Oh yeah. You know, we started working on this right after the last Rev Limiter, trying to work with the municipality to get everything in line so we could do this. And then, so it seems soon as we finished up Red Bull Override, we had already gone out, started laying out some stuff and kind of working on some track stuff, kind of figuring out, you know, because we every 2 to 3 years, we kind of want to go to a new venue just to keep everything fresh. However, when I had that idea, I thought, you know, this is going to be so awesome. You know, one thing I didn't consider for the team and myself is, holy crap, we're starting from ground zero again with logistics and everything. So there's just been tons of stuff. And so, you know, we've worked on it. We kind of, you know, back in March, we didn't even know if this thing was ever going to get to happen again. So yeah, we're totally pumped and excited. The team's excited. We're just, oh man, it's just 2 weeks away and we're ready.
Okay, so we're getting a ton of questions from friends and followers and stuff. They're wanting to know, is this going to be like the old Rev Limiter?
over in Decatur. Is this, you know, are we talking about similar rock shelves? Are we talking about something totally different? What do you have to tell people?
So basically, as far as and just to kind of start off with, our format is going to be the same as it has been in the years past. So, you know, a total of 5 races through the weekend. You know, we got our first race, you know, for everybody minus the pros. Then we take the top riders into the hot lap, just like we've always done in the past. The only difference this year is our course layout. We have a little more property and a little more availability to kind of spread out the track. So instead of just taking 100 from the first race, we're going to take 125. And then.
So 125 advance. What time is that first race on Saturday?
First race is at 8:30. So we'll have a riders meeting at 7:30 at the scoring trailer, 8:30 race.
Okay.
And then so from. Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. The next race, I guess it'd be after that qualifier on Saturday, the hot lap, when the pros join in. What time is that?
That's going to start at 8 o'clock. So just like normal, we'll take the 125 from the Saturday morning. We'll add in the pros. Typically, we take 75 into Sunday. We're going to take 100 into Sunday. So we're adding 25 to the first 2 races. Yep.
So 100 to Sunday. I'm sorry, you're kind of microwaving a little bit. So I'm just going to repeat what you said. So 1 o'clock,
absolutely,
Saturday hot lap. It's going to be 125 racers from the first race on Saturday plus the pros, and then 100 to Sunday. So Sunday morning is kind of traditionally when the real racing begins, in my opinion. TKO. It's like, here we go. You better be ready. So what time on Sunday morning?
Sunday morning, we're going to start the same time. Our meeting at 7:30. Start at 8.
Okay. And that first race, what's the format of that?
So just like as many laps as we're going to throw the checkered flag. Now, like we did with the Red Bull override, we actually have checkpoints. So, for instance, you know, if you come through and you know you're not going to get a full lap in, but you can get to that next checkpoint, you want to push on to that next checkpoint because you're going to be scored with those checkpoints. So, super exciting about that. I know everybody wants checkpoints to kind of see how far they made it, because sometimes if you don't make a lap, you still want bragging rights with your buddies. Hey, man, I made it at least a 2 checkpoints. So we'll have 2 checkpoints. So that'll be exciting for everybody.
So how many in that 2-hour race, how many of those 125 plus pros advance to the next round?
So just like the years past, everybody advances from the first race to the second race if they choose to race.
Yep.
So, yep. And then after that, then that's when we – because remember, Sunday is the 3-moto format. All 3 motos count for your score. At the end of the second race, then we take the top guys into the last race.
Okay, and how many guys into the last race? If all the spots are filled,
right? 25 is what we've 20 done in the years.
Okay,
past.
25 to the final.
Yes, okay. Sir.
Well, I guess a lot of people haven't done this race in the past, so I'm just trying to refresh.
No,
and man,
it
feels like it's been 2 years since we've been down there, just since so much has happened. You know what I mean?
Exactly. There's been a lot of racing. You know, love that the Extreme Series, you know, is really the races are growing, and so we have more opportunities. So that's really exciting to see more and more of those races coming online. So super excited. And this is the East versus West for the AMA, Sherco AMA East and West Extreme Series.
Extreme Off-Road.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Super excited about that.
Hey, so on Sunday, is that second race at 1 o'clock or is it earlier than that?
It's at 1 o'clock, I believe. I don't have the schedule in front of me, but I believe it's at 1 o'clock. and that might it. Hold on, let me double check. I don't want my. Let's see. It says 1 o'clock, but we might need to adjust that. We might move it up to 12:30, but we'll look at that once we get out on the course again.
Yeah, treat us guys that are driving 13 hours back to work on Monday as good as you can.
We try. So yeah, back to the terrain. Everybody's wanting to know about the terrain. So
yes.
Rocky Ridge has always been that flat rock, not big hills or anything like that. The kind of hills that you can kind of little short hills that if you don't make it, you can kind of get off and kind of push your way up. The OHV park is totally a different type of rock. So these are more bouldery types. So we have more rock gardens. A lot of these rock gardens might be flat, but the idea is in this scenario, you might not be pushing up some hills, but you're going to have to push through some rock gardens and you will just get beat down. So super excited about that. And I think on our website, the revlimiterextreme.com, I think on under venue, I think we have a video of the property. We raced out there. I put on a local hare scramble race out there like 6 or 7 years ago. And so there is a video link down there on the website. So people can kind of check out what type of rock and stuff it is. So it's going to be pretty exciting. It's going to be totally different than the other revlimiters. So
nice. Changing how much elevation is there much elevation change on this property, or is it,
No, we got a couple of hill climbs. And when I say hill climbs, let me rephrase that. These are not, Battle of the Goat Hill climbs or TKO hill climbs. So these are still just short. I mean, but in relations to Rocky Ridge, we got a couple of hill climbs that are just like full commit mode. You can't like, I'm just going to kind of lug up this hill. When you're at the bottom, you go ahead and get things out and get ready and send it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. So as far as parking, is everything kind of right there? Do they need to bring a side-by-side to view it? Are you going to have any transportation?
Yeah.
How's that working out?
So totally excited about the new location. It is a little more spread out. However, we still have great arteries to get around. So our camping, our property, and this weekend, I'll do a live video when I drive into the property and kind of walk people through some stuff. But the property is actually broken up into the OHV park, which is up on top of the property. And then in the lower property is called Endeavor Bridgeport. So since we have four events going on this weekend on this property, what we'll do is when we come in, all of our camping is going to be down in the Endeavor part because we have great camping area down there. So all of our camping for all of our events are going to be down in the bottom. What we've done is we have set up our scoring trailer and our start down close to camp. So it's easily accessible for both because once again, we're doing with Torn Racing. Their scoring trailer will be right across the road from ours. So it'll be easy to pull in those spectators as well, just to kind of give them a glimpse of what we actually do. So our start will be down in the bottom, close to where camp is, and then we navigate all the way up into the OHV park. Once we get into the OHV park, then there's arteries, roads everywhere, so people will be able to get around. Now, I do advise bringing a pit vehicle, whether that's your mountain bike, whether that's your ASICS walking shoes, whether it's a side-by-side or a pit vehicle. We do have pit speeds. We do require that we abide by the OHV rules. And that is if you do not have a roll cage. So if you're not like in a side-by-side or something, if you're just on a four-wheeler or a dirt bike, you need to have a helmet on. So that's a big thing. We want to make sure that everybody's wearing helmets and being safe. So you'll be able to get up top and into the OHV park, and that's where a lot of the action happens. Of course,
okay.
we'll have our standard rev limiter start obstacle. Once you get through the start, before you get into the OHV park, there's nothing really too technical after you get off the start. But when you come back mm-hmm. into scoring, you're going to come across, you're going to do a couple of road crossings, and you'll be headed back, and you're going to have a couple of little rock gardens that are like right there close to the end. So even people
nice.
That don't want to go up into the park, they can sit there and watch as they're coming down the road and hitting that kind of stuff. So there'll still be some close spectating right there by camp as well.
Have you guys, can you tell us what the start obstacle is this year, or is it similar to last?
It's somewhat similar to last. We're still working on it. We have this concept. We're getting some dozer work this week, so we can kind of clear out some things. We got to go pick up some material that we're just waiting to go get, and then get some stuff delivered. And so it'll be similar to something that we've done last year. Obviously, there's
okay.
going to be some there will probably be some pushing for some people, or some, you know,
mm-hmm.
some good action. So we don't ever want to make it too easy.
Well, if my hands aren't numb, you know, before I hit the first obstacle, it'll be a big improvement over last year. I know that.
Well, you know, it is looking to be, man, I was really thinking a lot of times in September in Texas, it's still,
yeah, you never
high
know.
90s and rough. And right now it's looking like it's going to be mid 80s. Oh, it's going to be so nice.
What is the moisture situation down there?
So if, last weekend when we were working on track, we had a couple of big rains, and let me tell you, it would have been perfect last weekend. We doesn't look like we have any more rain in the forecast in the next couple of weeks. So that's kind of a bummer, because we would love it to be wet in a lot of areas. There'll be some dust getting kicked up, but mm-hmm. as far as camping and things like that, that's one of the reasons that we have camping where we are. And that's, you know, we've raced at this property when it has been just pouring down rain, and we can get people in and out really easy because it's hard packed. It's an old quarry, so it's really easy.
Okay. Well, it sounds like the weather is going to cooperate. I'm seeing like 50, 60 degree mornings. If the long range forecast is accurate. How many riders do you guys
nice.
Have? How many riders do you guys have signed up?
I think I haven't looked in the last couple of weeks, but I think we're probably close to like 270 or something like that. Definitely not
wow.
where we have been in the past. Obviously, with the situation, that's kind of put a damper on a lot of people's opportunity to come racing. So, you know, that's unfortunate, and we hate that. But I think we'll still have a good turnout. And like I said, especially for – like that, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nice. Any pros outside of the normal, you know, guys that have been running most of the EEC races? For those guys to get into the country.
Yeah. The Benji's still going to be over here.
Nice. You were talking about the pros that are coming.
Yeah, so obviously here in America, we got a stacked field of anybody could pull out the win just about on a given day, or anybody could end up on the podium. We got a lot of guys. So we got Beta, Sherco, Tristan Hart, a lot of those guys coming, Noah Keppel. So I think, if I remember correctly, David Garza might have been signed up. I know I talked to
okay.
Rodney Smith. So Benji's still over here. So Benji will still be here with Beta. Then there's a Sherco guy that from Mexico that I believe is a Red Bull athlete on a Sherco. I don't know his name or anything. Somebody
cool.
just messaged me yesterday and said he was coming. So other than that, I mean, you know, we got a pretty stacked deep field here in the U.S. So.
Yeah. And I guess, I mean, obviously Cody Webb's going to be there. I'd heard that. Yep. I think Colton Haker was focusing on Endurocross right now.
Yeah, yeah. Colton won't be coming out, so Noah Campbell will be, I think, running the Husky, trying to represent them.
Nice. Okay. Well, it's always an interesting crowd, and I'm sure the guys from the East Coast, like Quinn Wenzel and Nick, guys will be there. They could definitely make some noise. And then I don't know if – I guess we can – race team, he's having his guys there too, so.
Nice, nice. Yeah, yeah, those guys always show up, so I know he's – put together a team, to my understanding. I don't know all of the details, but super excited for him and the team.
Right. Yeah. Well, I know, I guess I can talk about this. Sorry, Chuck, if I can't, but Ryder LeBlond and Danny Lewis riding on Husqvarna's out of the DeLulo camp. So that's huge news in our world. Anytime you can add a team and get more guys involved, that's nothing but great, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And those guys have been on fire, all of them put on a great show, and so super exciting and super excited for Ryder and Danny to get some support and some help and be part of a team. So really exciting.
Hey,
for putting all that together.
Yeah, no doubt. Is Jeep still involved like they had been before?
Absolutely. So we have a total of four different events going in. So you come into our main gate. It's $20 a person, but that gets you access to everything for the weekend. We have rally car racing. We have Torn Nice. Racing, which is our local cross-country series. And they race, dirt bikes and side-by-sides. Then we have the Rev Limiter, and then we have Jeep this year. So Jeep's going to come and set up, and they're going to have some concept vehicles out there. They're going to also have some, I believe, some Jeep Gladiators for people to test drive. And so it's really excited to be partnered with Jeep on this venture, because what we're going to do is we have, since it's an OHV park, we want to support the OHV, program and make sure that we involve the Jeeps into this as well. So we will actually have a Jeep loop. So if you come in that event is called the Texas Four Fest. And so if you're a Jeep person, you go to texasfourfest.com and, go through the process, because you got to register your Jeep and all of those good things. But we'll actually have a loop for the Jeeps to go around the OHV park and get to spectator points for our race.
Nice.
Because that's what we really want to do. We really want to have those guys in those Jeeps be able to pull up and say, holy crap, look what these guys are doing over here. Or, there's such a crossover between Jeep and off-road racing and things like that. I don't know the statistics. Don't remember them. 70-something% of maybe Jeep people that own Jeep has some type of off-road dirt bike or four-wheeler or something. So just makes sense to work with those guys. So Jeep's on board with that, really a big partner in that situation. So we're really excited about that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Anytime you can do some cross promotion with the Jeep guys or whoever it is, the Bronco guys, all those Sprinter van 4x4 guys, they're all interested in dirt bikes, so that works well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's one of the things. Typically, go ahead.
No, you keep going.
I was just going to say, typically when we go out to the OHV park, you only see Jeeps, and there's very few dirt bikes and things like that. And so they don't actually see us riding their obstacles. And so we really want this partnership to work really well, because we want to be able to show that, we share the land, we share the parks and things like that very well. And, we want to make sure that we convey that message.
Absolutely. A couple of little housekeeping items. I think on y'all's Facebook page that we may need to buy a Texas off-road decal. Is that right?
So The OHV park, the state's park and wildlife, they require us to have one. Now, I've bought mine. They're not on my bike, and I haven't been stopped. So that's all I'm saying on that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll just leave that alone then. Are we supposed to have our waivers printed out and signed when we get in the gate, that kind of thing? I know with the COVID and social distancing, right, it's kind of been different, right, at every race.
Yeah. And I believe, I don't know, cause I'm not a website guy, but, I sent the stuff to our website guy to put up the AMA COVID waiver, which is basically the same one we had for TKO, so that that way we can print it off, fill it out, and we need those brought to registration. You know, that's one of the things when we're racing in other areas and a lot of the other races are happening and they're not inside of town, we are actually on city-owned property within a city limits. And so what I'm encouraging everybody to do is follow the guidelines. Make sure that, you know, if you're social distancing and things like that, we have close to 1,000 acres here. So there's plenty of places to kind of spread out and get a few feet between you, unless it's within your own group, obviously. You know, obviously, if you travel together and that's your own group, then, you know, you've already shared all your germs. So that's fine. But what we are encouraging, you know, everybody to really focus on that, because we don't want the city to come in and we don't want to give them a bad taste to where they don't want to work with us in the future. So we're asking to make sure that when you're supposed to be doing things, you know, if you're coming up to registration, you know, our people will have our mask on, you know, same thing, you know, when we're having those interactions. We also have Nick Uradalis and his team. He has, who he works for, he's one of our staff guys that works with us, but we'll be deep cleaning and going through the disinfecting process throughout our scoring trailers, our port-a-johns, anything that's going to be coming in close contact with people, multiple people. So we're taking all the precautions. We've met with the city multiple times on our COVID precautions. So we encourage, if you are starting to see signs and symptoms, you don't feel well, anything like that, or you've been out of the country in the last week or so, please don't come out to the event and, you know, be considerate of others. And like I said, just use common sense. So we appreciate that. But, you know, it is that time that everybody is kind of under a microscope, and especially being on city property, you know, that's going to be one of those things.
Right on. Well, we appreciate everything you guys are doing. I know putting on a race right now is super strange. It's always strange, but this year has been really strange. just getting it in is, we really appreciate it. We've been so lucky on the East Coast that we've gotten to race. It's been packed into a couple month period, but heck, it's a lot better than being, you know, out in California, and I guess they had one race and the rest of them got shut down. So hopefully EnduroFest is still going to come back, but I haven't heard anything about that lately. I don't know if you.
Yeah. I know Matt's working on some stuff.
Yeah.
If he's got dates yet or not. I know he had shot a few dates over to me. And so he was working stuff for sure. So it should be on schedule soon, hopefully.
Okay. Well, hopefully that happens.
Yeah, for sure.
Good deal. Well, it's good talking to you, man. Stay safe down there in Lake Charles, Texas, and we'll see you here in right at 2 weeks, man.
Absolutely. Go check out our website, revlimiterextreme.com. Check out our sponsors. Support the people that support us. Follow our social media, because we'll be doing some live feeds. You know, we'll talk about, we're using the live lap pucks again. So everybody will have a puck.
Nice.
Yeah. Everybody will already have a puck registered to them. So if they don't have a puck, just come up and pay your $10 at registration. If you do have a puck, come up to registration and bring your old puck and swap it out, because it'll already be assigned to your, to you. And just like always, we'll try to make it quick and easy. Make sure that you bring your AMA. It is an AMA event, so you will have to go through the AMA process to make sure that you already are set before you get your packet. Super exciting.
All right. Awesome. Sounds good.
All right. Thanks to the AAT guys, Mark. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.
All right, man. Looking forward to it.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.